We're gonna have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny K.
Christmas Carol Catastrophes. The oddest Christmas songs to ever be unleashed on an unsuspecting public.
And they'll sing, and they'll sing, and they'll sing, 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 sing.
Hey everybody, how about a Christmas carol?
Chiron Beta Prime, Jonathan Colton.
This year has been a little crazy for the Andersons. You may recall we had some trouble last year. The robot council had us banished to an asteroid that hasn't undermined our holiday cheer. And we know it's almost Christmas by the marks we make on the wall. That's our favorite time of year. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime.
Hi, for one, welcome our new overlords.
I'm Eric Paul Johnson.
And I'm Eric Winsenson.
And I think possibly the most underrepresented story in the vast catalog of Christmas music is the one where humans are enslaved by robots and forced to mine a distant asteroid. You don't really hear much about that from Perry Como or Bing Crosby or even Johnny Mathis. When it first came out back in 2006, it was hilarious. I love it. It's just got a great story. It's funny until you get about 2023 and now it's getting closer and closer to looking more like reality instead of sci-fi silliness. What with what I'm hearing about AI every day. Sort of like Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun. Oh, that was funny in 1984. That's so ridiculous that it's hilarious. We didn't realize that actually it was a dark prophecy. So, and as usual, nobody pays attention when a novelty artist puts out a song that is funny, but has the hidden message of you're all doomed if you let the robots and the AI take over.
My computer says I'm not allowed to comment. Well, we're not letting them take over. We're just letting them take our food orders.
It's how it started. How do you think the Cylons started?
Well, actually, they started because people were too lazy to do their own work.
Same backstory as the robots from the Orville.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is the Cylons.
That's it, the Cylons.
Where the people who made them actually made them so they could feel pain when they got punished.
Yes, they were actually robot slaves, and then, as usual, humans being sadistic little a-holes, that's how you wind up with robot overlords. I mean protectors.
Yeah. The Cylons, it was more along the lines of made them pretty much the same as them for a while, except looking like toasters. I'm thinking of the reboot, not the original. Because the original, they were a cybernetic race that had nothing to do with people on the Battlestar Galactica. They were just meant to look like stormtroopers to rip off Star Wars. But the newer one, it was, they were made with all the thoughts and everything that the people had, and at some point they just went, F this.
Well, I remember in the original one that I think it was Apollo who said that, you know, at first they were made just to help humanity do the things that they don't want to do, and then, as usual, Cylons progressed and got mad, and like the Daleks and Cybermen and the Borg, they all wanted to kill every person that they saw.
Yeah, except the Cylons in the newer one were a bunch of religious extremists.
I prefer the old-timey Cylons because I think they look really cool. And I think they sound really cool, too.
I really think you should look at the other Battlestar.
And then on a tangent, the entire Battlestar Galactica, no matter what series it is Mormon philosophy, or Mormon theology. Kobol is an analog for Kalob, the planet that's supposed to be closest to God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that stuff in there is all Mormon stuff, because the guys who wrote it were Mormon.
I never thought of that, but I guess you're right.
Not as blatant as Orson Scott Card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The Ender series and the...
Right, yeah. Also, mostly I'm thinking, shouldn't we get back on track?
Yes, we should get back on track.
Yeah.
because message redacted. Yeah, I agree with you, though. I love this song. 2006, I downloaded all four of his Thing of the Week releases, where he had basically, over the course of a year, recorded one song a week, and this was one of them. Yeah, it was an interesting project, and as you can guess with recording one song a week, not everything's at the same level as Chiron Beta Prime. or R.E., Your Brains, or Code Monkey, or his cover of Baby Got Back.
I don't think I've heard that one. I've heard those other two. Those get a lot of play on Dr. Demento.
It's an acoustic folk rock version of Baby Got Back.
Take the average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So fellas, yeah. Fellas, yeah. Has your girlfriend got the butt? Tell her to shake.
Maybe I have heard it. I'm sure I have.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of his other covers, they just sound like, oh, we'll just get this out of the way. But that one is actually pretty funny. I like this because it does tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a saccharine Christmas song. I'm still wondering what the overlords are going to, protectors are going to do to them if somebody doesn't come visit soon. And it reminded me a lot of an earlier song. It wasn't a Christmas song, but it had kind of the same type of theme. So I'm wondering if Jonathan Coulton was inspired by it. It's by Stan Ridgway. It's off his Party Ball album, I think 1991, and it's called The Overlords. It's about a guy talking about how he's been banished to a prison planet, and they're being all worked to death.
Well, I've been breaking rocks up on coolie number three.
Christmas 1963, and Goodyear presents 11 great artists of our time. Robert Goulet, Mitch Miller, Andre Previn, Julie Andrews, Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic, Isaac Stern, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Percy Faith, Christy Minstrels, Norman Luboff Choir, Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. All in album 3 of the Great Songs of Christmas. 20 selections in a long playing album, a collector's item, a $3.98 value, yours for only $1 at your Goodyear service store. Nothing else to buy, but hurry, it's a limited edition.
623-850-3375. Call now.
Hello there, Mr. Kringle. Ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Got something to say about the song, the podcast, or have a bad Christmas memory to share? Then leave a message on the voicemail. And if we get enough messages, we'll play and respond to them in the post-Christmas wrap-up episode. You got 3 minutes before it cuts you off.
Come on, children. Santa Claus is on the phone.
You get that Christmas feeling when you're tuned to the holiday sound. Ooh, get that Christmas feeling and a happy holiday sound.
According to Wikipedia, anyway, a friend of Jonathan Coulter's said, "Hey, I'd like to hear a Christmas song with a futuristic theme." And Jonathan took it from there and gave us Chiron Beta Prime.
Hey, you got it wrong for once.
I'm just telling you what Wikipedia is telling
me. No, I'm talking about the name, Coulton.
Coulton, oh.
Not Coulter.
Oh, yeah, there
it is. I just double-checked it to make sure I wasn't wrong, because I have a habit of doing that sometimes, getting names messed up.
Well, progressive lenses. I'm not looking through the bottom half of the lens, so. Last week you hated I Found the Brains of Santa Claus, and I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, didn't hate, just was disappointed.
Right. I didn't think it was bad. It was amusing. This is a piece of musical genius. Just lyrically, it's brilliant. It starts off like your average kind of Christmas song that you think, oh, the Andersons are going to tell you, oh, it's a crazy year this year. And then suddenly it goes off into the robot council banishing to an asteroid. Wait, what? That's not a very Perry Como, there's no place like home for holidays kind of thing. And it furthers its genius by combining all the tropes of Christmas carols with all the tropes of sci-fi and blending them so smoothly together. Working in the whole family Christmas kind of thing, while we're also talking about robot overlords, I mean protectors, enslaving humans, forcing them to mine their asteroids for... I don't know, I don't think it says why. I think the perfect example of melding in the lyrical requirement for a Christmas song and the lyrical requirement for a sci-fi song about forcing humans to work into space by robots is the line.
Then the rocks outside the airlock exude ammonia-scented snow. It's like a winter wonderland.
Works in sci-fi, Christmas, beautifully, just perfectly. And I also like the bit about the message being redacted.
We really hope you'll come and visit us soon. I mean, we're literally begging you to visit us and make it quick before they...
Message redacted.
And he makes it funny, too. Which is also another sign of the friggin' genius of the song. And puts it to a catchy tune. Which also makes it friggin' genius.
That is one thing, though, with a lot of sci-fi stories. Why are the robots having us do the mining? It's a lot more efficient if they build robots to go in and do the mining. Or if they make us build robots to go do the mining. It's actually more efficient. You get rid of the organics anyway and just... manufacture.
There is that. But then again, you're asking the humans to make people, well, I guess not people, make machines of your kind to do the jobs you don't want to do. So I guess maybe the machines have something in their programming where they do no harm to other robots like yourself, or not make them go through the things that you don't want to do.
But unlike a human being, unless you're talking Brave New World, I mean, a robot can program a robot not to know that it's doing servile work. All it needs to do is know how to pick the rocks out of the mine.
Right. But, you got the ultimate overlord protector robots who, like, would be in charge of everything. And I guess maybe it would be sort of like humans, where are you going to make your own babies just so they can go dig in the mines? I mean, sure, you make your own babies so that they can mow the lawn and do the chores. But to do the really rotten stuff that would not be good for them. Anyways, that's my human brain putting human traits into robots that are really programmed. Maybe this is it. They're just programmed to treat humans like crap. They don't think outside, maybe we should be making machines to do the machine work when we got humans. And they're horny little bastards. They're just going to keep making more humans. And we don't have to do anything.
You're talking about them not making babies that would do stuff like that. That's kind of Brave New World, where an entire class of humans are genetically bred to be workers.
You know, throughout the month of Halloween, I listen to a different old-time radio show that's spooky. And one of them is sort of like that. This lady inherits an island that's been in her family for like 300 years. And the only people there are the people that work this factory. And the people there know no better. And she says, no. This has got to stop. And she tries to get them to stop. Hey, everybody, don't do this. You're free. And they just don't get it. They're like, no, we're here to work. In the end, she goes nuts and is like, oh my God, what has my family done? She realizes she can't change them. So the humans that seem to be bred to just work this factory forever, it just goes on.
People, stop working and listen to me. Stop working, I tell you. I've got to talk to you. I've got to tell you important things. And I want to close this factory because I want to help you. Help you to begin to live like human beings. Living means books to be read full of new excitement and understanding. And wonderful music to be played and listened to. And the enjoyment of your homes and conversation and friendship. But now you're not listening to me. None of you. People, listen. I want you to turn away from your machines? Why won't you stop them? I want to help you. Listen to me, please. Just listen to me. Listen to me.
This is your inheritance. An island in the factory. And 1,000 perfect workmen who never want anything for themselves except the bit of food they grow. Who sit at your machines until they rot and die. I leave it all for you until you rot and die.
The ultimate corporate dream.
Yes, they even knew that. Well, of course, they would have known that back in 1940s or whatever it was, because it really wasn't that long from when little kids, kindergartners, were working mines and factories.
Well, you got to get somebody and get in those crawl spaces and stuff. Got to get little people to get in there, and adult little people tend to complain.
Right, and, you know,
yeah.
Little hands get in little places to clear out big gears, whereas grown-ups, their hands are too big to get in those little tight places.
Yeah.
I've heard it every year on Dr. Demento, and I paid attention enough to get the gist of it. No, oh, I like that. That's pretty good. But when Sensen suggested this song for this episode, I actually had to pay attention, and I looked into it. So I looked up to the lyrics, and I paid attention. And, yeah, it's a friggin' genius song.
Unlike the other Christmas song that's on there, which I'll mention briefly,
mm-hmm.
Pod Save Christmas Song. It's a parody of the Chipmunks song.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
We want a Pod Save Christmas song. We want a song that's safe to play. Don't think us rude, we don't want to get sued by the thugs at the RIAA.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be listening to that one.
Yeah, it's an okay parody of the Chipmunks song. It's not bad. But then, of course, I don't think the Chipmunks song is that bad.
I despise it. I first heard it when I was fifth grade, and I thought, well, this is stupid.
Chipmunk Light Orchestra.
Don't bring that up. Christmas Carol Catastrophes is a production of Radio Trolla Entertainment, Assorted Deli Meats Amalgamated. Our theme song was written and recorded by Stephen St. John. Send us an email at christmascatastrophes@gmail.com. Help spread the word by sharing the link on your social networking sites and rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts. Next episode, Christmas 2023 Wrap-Up.
This is Colonel Sanders wishing all of you a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, they were actually robot slaves, and then, as usual, piss off robot slaves, then they come in. Almost like little children who know better when it's time to come in and when it's not time to come in. You can say hello, and that's it, because we're recording. And you disrupt my train of thought, which is on a very delicate track all the time.
Hey, Jill.
Hello, Madeline.
Oh, yeah, there. Now she can hear you.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Kitty's been throwing up lately.
Hairballs or food?
Both.
Ah. Well, that's what Mommy's for.
But guess who cleans it up anyway?
Madeline?
No. Sort of like the deal we made when we got the cat. Everybody takes turns doing the litter box, even though I knew when that deal was made that guess who's going to be cleaning the litter box all the time?
I cannot voice the correct.
Yeah, it's me. Okay. You said hello. Showed off the cat. You hugged Jasper. Okay, now goodbye so that I can get back to this. Yeah, they were robot slaves, and they put a program in to make them feel pain. And, of course, humans being humans.
Lights out for the devil and Mr. O.
This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. The play tonight is about the almighty dollar. I call it Balance Sheet.
I know you'll fix it in post.